This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2015, held at Faith Builders on August 4 through 7.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I've thoroughly enjoyed my week. I always enjoyed coming to Teachers Week as a teacher, and I've been gone for a number of years, and it's been interesting to come back and see how this week has grown. It's been a delight to share it with you. Very quickly, before we get started, if you were in my devotional workshop yesterday and wanted to see the tolerance pottery, it is up here on the stage, so you can come take a look at that afterward. Maximizing after-school chat time. Now, someone asked, is this maximizing the amount of time we spend in after-school chats? Because that might not be our greatest need. I said, no, that was not the emphasis. So to clarify the title, this is toward maximizing the quality of our after-school chat time, not necessarily the quantity. But maybe I'm out on a limb. Is this a foreign concept to you to get together and talk after school? How many of you get together and talk with your co-teachers? Now, some of you are in single classroom schools, and so this might be a little bit of a moot point. In the vast majority of my teaching, it just sort of happened. It wasn't scheduled, it wasn't structured, it wasn't planned. There was no schedule. Okay, on Tuesday we meet at Sister Hosanna's desk, and on Thursday we meet at Sister Bear's desk. No. They just showed up at my desk. Which I was good with, because I had a comfortable chair that way. They sat on students' chairs, they sat on the floor, they stood. I'm fine with that. And if we met at somebody else's desk, I generally brought my own chair. You've been here for a full week. And it's been a full week. I mean, packed to the gills and then some. What do ye more than others? What do I have to say in the next 40 minutes that you might actually retain? So if you're filled to the brim, you know, you're sloshing water in the gunnels, you know, it's okay. You're allowed to just sit and absorb and enjoy and not feel guilty that you didn't learn a lot or something. I threw that verse at the top of your notes, not simply to sort of Christianize this. You know, we're Christians here, and so we have to throw in the Bible here somewhere to sort of sanctify the thing. But truly, that's what I want as the emphasis of this topic. In lowliness of mind, esteem others better than myself. In lowliness and humility and meekness, realize that my co-teachers have something to offer me. Number one, teaching is serving. Now, in case you hadn't noticed that before, now I realize I'm talking to the new class of teachers. What is it, 0 to 3 years? In case you hadn't picked up on that before, I'll break it to you gently today. Teaching is serving. I'm a disaster responder for Christian Aid Ministries, and at the one disaster conference we talked about, the speaker said, it's the Lord's work, but it's still work. Well, school teaching is that way as well. It's the Lord's work, but it's still hard work. It's service. You're called to serve the church. Most of you are in schools operated directly or indirectly by some sort of local church body. You're called to serve the board. They hired you. They pay you. Not quite enough, but they do pay you in most cases. You're called to serve parents and students, and you're called to serve other teachers. So I have three functions of this after-school chat I'd like to look at briefly, and how we can maximize this time, because we know it happens. You talk shop. I've been watching it all week long. We gather in clusters, watching frisbee golf, frisbee soccer, frisbee, I don't know what that was exactly. I was told frisbee football, but it didn't look like what I've seen football. We gather in the lounge on couches, and when we can pry our eyes off our phones, we talk. You hear the chats at meals. Last night there were several young men in the cafeteria till, well, it was after 11, let's say. We get around, we talk shop. How can we make this time more valuable? Because your time is valuable. Because if you're single, Well, that's one thing. Those of you that are married, you have a family at home that does like to see you, so you don't have to live at your desk. How can we make this time more valuable? 3 points. Number one, relationships. I'd like you to look at relationships in your after-school chat time. First of all, this is your support team. School teaching is an expensive occupation. It's emotionally expensive. It's hard. It's hard work. You have competing interests. Down here, you have a school board who has set policies, and they've given you the curriculum, and this is what we want you to get done. This is what we want you to teach. This is what we want you to accomplish. Over here, you have parents. And this particular set of parents doesn't care much for diagramming sentences. And so if you don't ever get to diagramming, Arnold, I'm okay with that. We're good with that. Board wants it done, but the parents don't care. Over here, you have the student, you know, and Malia, she just wants to go outside. She doesn't care about diagramming either. So you have competing interests. One thing that makes school teaching difficult is competing interests. Competing people you're trying to make happy. Number two, it tends to be a lonely occupation. There are probably not dozens and dozens of other school teachers in your church with whom you routinely interact and talk shop. If you're like most places, there's, you know, two, three, or four. So these after-school chats are a place to build relationships. This is your support team. Sometimes school teaching feels like a tightrope act. You know, where you've got a rope strung between two walls of the canyon, and you're trying to somehow make it across till May 22nd. These relationships are going to be that safety net underneath you. Because there are days, at least there have been in my teaching, maybe not for you, but there are days when you're pretty sure you're in a free fall. You want to know there's that safety net underneath you. When you barely held it together today, when the last school van drives out, you sit at your desk and you're pretty sure you're about to cry. Because I don't like it when strangers see me cry. But when my brothers and sisters see me cry, it's a whole lot different. It's good to know there's that safety net when I'm barely hanging onto the wire. It's good to know what my safety net underneath me is. Number three, burnout. I'm sure you've never heard of this. It's never been talked about in your board meetings or staff meetings. Oh, it has? Interesting. Burnout. Why do teachers burn out? Well, that's a whole long subject that men of old and wisdom have discussed at great length. But we need fresh fuel. Do you want your students warming themselves over a dwindling, smoldering fire or a fresh, hot, crackling fire? Do you want your students drinking from a stagnant mud puddle or a fresh flowing stream? We constantly need input. And as awesome as Teachers Week is every August, come February, it's a dim memory. You're going to need fresh fuel. This is a source of inspiration. This is your support team. These are the people that you can bounce the ideas off of and work with. And lastly, protect your investments. When you've invested in your staff, when you feel invested, you're naturally going to protect them. Christ talked about this, that we naturally protect our investments. Now, I'm not at all invested today in corn. I can't tell you what corn's selling for. If it's a dollar a bushel or $9, I don't know. I'm going to assume it's not $9 or I would have heard about it. I'm not invested in corn. But you did see the picture I put up when I started, right? Any guesses of what I do care about? Any guesses of what I do know about today? Okay, because I'm going to protect those little girls because I'm invested there. When we've invested on our staff, when we've invested in our coworkers, and we've invested in that safety net, we're going to protect it. And we're going to be able to smell when Sister Hosanna's having a rough day and she's the one crying. And it's just going to feel naturally. It's going to it's just going to happen. It's not going to be some great effort to poke our nose in our classroom door and say, listen, you've had a rough day, but you're a good teacher, and I'm proud to be on staff with you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because you're a good teacher. Just as it's not a great mental struggle, am I going to go comfort Liesl when she scrapes her knee? When I'm going out the back patio to turn the meat on the grill, and she's coming out after me, and she trips on the steps and falls, I don't have to decide, am I going to turn the pork chops first or comfort Liesl? Because the pork chops are getting done. Boy, I really don't want them to burn. I don't like overdone meat. No, it's not even a discussion. Right? It's just natural because I care about that little girl. When you care about your staff, it's just going to be natural to support them, to serve them. And guess what? It's going to come the other way too. Because someday, Jaden, you're going to have a rough day. You're going to be the one borderline in tears. And somebody else is going to poke their head in the door and say, yo, I know we vehemently disagree on how much structure we need in music class, and I'm not saying that all is forgotten about that argument we had about football, whether it should be tag or touch, or you know, or tackle, or I don't know, or disc golf. But I want you to know you're a good teacher, and I'm glad to have you on staff. I want you to know I support what you did today. I know that parent's giving you grief, but I'm behind you. How many of you would like to hear that sometimes when you're in tears? Why are all the hands up? Why is it safe to admit here that I need some encouragement sometimes? Okay, go have the same discussion in your staff meeting. Because when we in lowliness of mind esteem others better than ourselves, we're willing to serve them, we're willing to pick up the slack, we're willing to just take out their garbage, you know, whatever, it may be a small gesture. But what's the message? I care about you. Furthermore, these are the brothers that understand. You've been seeing this all week long. You guys have been talking shop, issues you'll never discuss at volleyball at home. Issues you will never sit down at a fellowship meal in your church and talk as freely as you do here. Because these are brothers and sisters that understand you. You're talking shop because this is your brotherhood. Job said this, oh, that someone would hear me. Why was Job craving someone to understand him? Because Job's human. He's kind of made out of the basic same stuff you and I are. We all crave someone that we can talk shop with. And thirdly in this relationships is humility. See, proud people don't need assistance. I read you that poem yesterday in devotions class. Pride is a cheater because it robs me of relationships because I don't need anything. It robs me of joy because I already have everything that I need. Proud people don't need help from others. It's only the humble, broken people that are willing to say, I need a little help over here. I'm having a rough day. I can't swing this on my own. I can't just tough it out and man up and pull it together and somehow power through. It takes some humility to say that. Be humble enough to ask for help. See, because proud people have it figured out. They've got the answer. They're good to go. Be humble enough to ask for help. Because it may not be that that other teacher pokes their head in the door and gives you those warm, comforting words. You may have to go ask for it. You may have to say, listen, I'm just about to fall apart here. Can you help me? There is no way I'm going to get this bulletin board done. There's no way I'm going to get these spelling tests scored and keep my sanity tonight. Could I just cash in a favor and just, could you take these spelling tests? And when you need help, I'll pay it back fourfold. See, proud people can't have that conversation. Humble people can. Be real. Be real. Be human. Because your co-teachers need another human on staff. If we could do this by machine, now recently in my field, they unveiled a computer that successfully performed the job of an anesthesiologist through a surgery. This computer monitored the condition of the patient, correctly administered medications, kept them sedated the appropriate depth and amount of time, and woke them back up after the procedure was over. And this has kind of rippled the world. Okay, it's been done now. And anesthesiologists everywhere are saying, uh-huh. Did the computer stick the needle in their arm? Nope, human had to do that. Did a computer do this? And, you know, all the things that they do that this computer wasn't doing, they're like, you know, my job is not in jeopardy yet. We could somehow come up and teach with computers, right? I don't want to teach with another computer. I want to teach with a real person. Be real. Be real with your staff. Number one, relationships. That's why we need to maximize these after-school chats. Because we could talk about football scores. We could sit around and drink Pepsi and eat donuts, and that'd be great. And maybe there are days you need to do that, except the football scores. There are days you need to just hang out and enjoy, and we'll get to that. At the end, we'll talk about that. But can we somehow reap a benefit from this time? See this as building relationships. There were days that I wanted to go home, and I decided to stay and just listen to my teachers talk. I said, you know, you're their principal, this is your job, you got to listen to them talk. And that paid big dividends. Because they won't come complaining about a problem until it's pretty big. But I picked up on it, and I smelled hints of it here, and I got a little whiff of it there, and there's something going on over here. Okay, it's time well spent. Number two, debriefing. Number one, we need this for relationships. Number two, debriefing. Now, debriefing, maybe not a term you're familiar with. It's basically analyzing. Now, once we all vacate here today, and Teachers Week is over, and the gym is swept, the chairs are gone, and projectors are put away, and the signs are all taken down in the trash, the leadership team here, the committee that put this together, are going to sit down. They're going to read your evaluations. That's why you need to fill them out. They're difficult to read if you haven't turned them in. They're going to read your evaluations. They're going to go through and debrief. They're going to discuss things. They're going to talk about where did we fail? What went wrong? What was the rough spots? I think it's been a great week. But over here, this was just, I don't know, disjointed, and it took forever, and they never showed up on time. Why not? Do we not give them enough time? Is it too congested? Do we need more restrooms for one gender versus the other? Where did we fail? That's part of debriefing. Now, that may happen today or tomorrow or over email over the next couple weeks, but I promise you it's going to happen. Okay, can you debrief after a day of school? Particularly events, you know, not your humdrum days, the kind of stuff Jeff was talking about yesterday, after your slave honor roll party. Analyze what went wrong. Debrief your day, analyze what went wrong. So when Treva comes to you and says, you know, this and this and this, I've had it with this guy. Okay, let's sit down and talk about this. What went wrong? Why didn't this work? Where did we fail? Why did we fail? Sort of do an autopsy here. What went wrong? What isn't working? And sometimes the easiest way to figure that out is say, what do I wish was different? What do you want to see differently? Well, I don't know. Well, until you tell me what you want to see differently, it's very difficult to analyze what you're dissatisfied with. If you don't want to see anything different, you must be okay with the way it is. I don't call that a failure. What do you want to see differently in your classroom? What do you want to see differently with honor roll or field trip or field day or, you know, parent-teacher night or whatever? And my teaching was, well, nobody came. Well, people came, but not near as many as I wanted. Okay, where did I fail? Did I not let them know soon enough? Often enough? Is this a communication problem? Do I need to blast them? Do I need to send them a postcard? Because believe it or not, mail is still pretty cheap. Postage is still pretty cheap. And people pay attention to what comes in the mail. They'll ignore an announcement Sunday morning on church, but send them a postcard reminder, you're up for school devotions next Friday morning. That one little trick exploded my devotion success rate. It over doubled it. What did 36 postcards and stamps cost me? Not that much. But for whatever reason, these guys who, you know, got the schedule at the beginning of the year, you know, a postcard in the mail got their attention. It was from a debriefing, analyzing what went wrong. Why aren't these guys showing up? What do I wish was different? How can I change that? Okay, so number one under debrief, analyze what went wrong. Well, let's move on to the positive. Celebrate what went right. Look around your staff and say, guys, today, we had a fire drill with our fastest evacuation time ever. And the fire marshal's really going to be impressed. Congrats. We can do this. And not only that, we did it with simulated problems. My fire marshal one time looked at my fire drill timesheet. He said, these are all too consistent. I said, okay. He said, look, you're doing them all the same time of day. Look at this, 2:30. Well, why do you do them then? I said, that's when I have time. He said, when was the last time you did one during your morning assembly? I said, never. He said, great, your next one's during morning assembly. Okay. He said, when was the last time you simulated some odd condition? I said, talk to me. I don't know what you're talking. Help me out. So we walked around the school, and we picked out two exits out of the two big classrooms. He said, look, there are no windows on this side of the building, and these doors don't have windows in them. So they won't see what you're up to. Park your pickup right up tight against this door. So from the inside, all looks normal, but you can't get the door open. And see how long your students, and these are high schoolers, fight this thing. Because guess what? Things happen in real life. High school boys sat there and threw their hips and shoulders against a wooden door that had an F-150 parked against it. After a few seconds, they caught on. Analyze what went right. Celebrate what went right. We did it, guys. We had our fall open house day, and it was a delight to see the Mennonite deacon and the German Baptist minister out there playing tug of war, but you're each standing on a concrete block. And you can't pull the other guy, the goal is to pull the other guy off the concrete block without pulling yourself off. It was a hoot. It was a hoot. And the students lapped it up. They had more fun than the parents did. I said, hey, we're on to something here. Let's keep this up. What went wrong? Well, the principal ordered about three times more apple cider than we needed. Okay, analyze what went wrong, figure out how to fix it, celebrate what went right. And C, debriefing, how do we interpret the day? Sometimes I just need some perspective. I need perspective from somebody else. I had a phone call. Dad called me and said, your all-school music class yesterday, you were too hard on those little guys. I said, okay, anything more specific? Well, I wasn't there, but from the reports I heard, you were too hard on them. I said, in what? Like, is this language? Is this tone of voice? Was this a specific on this particular? I hammered this particular note. Like, what are you talking about? Well, I wasn't there. Well, that's not very helpful. I was there, and I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, can you tell me who was there? I.e., where are you getting your information? No, I can't do that. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm sorry, but with no more information, I don't know what to say other than I'm sorry. I apologize for any hurt I may have caused. I'm at a loss here. I'm struggling. I went to my staff. I said, okay, this is the phone call I just got. Help me interpret this. And I got some feedback that I was plenty harsh in demanding, you know, borderline perfection from first and second graders. And they pointed out, okay, it was this time, this is what you said, and they got kind of scared. Okay, well, I don't like the fact the second grader's scared of the principal. That's bad. Okay, sometimes we need help interpreting what happened. Sometimes we're too close to the event, and it didn't make, I don't know what to do with this. Help me interpret this. I had one of my high school guys mouth off to me in the middle of a tornado drill. Afterwards, I said, what went wrong there? Why did he just blow up at me like that? And why did I instantly get defensive? And it was a tense situation. It was not pretty. They said, you asked him a question, he answered, and you didn't hear. And you thought he was being disrespectful. Oh. Okay. Sometimes we need help just analyzing. Help me interpret this event. And lastly, under debriefing, leave work at work. Because we're going to talk about these things. Some of you single people live with younger siblings who might be in your classroom. You can't go home and debrief at the supper table. Okay, because you have siblings there who don't need to hear what you have to say. Okay, some of you are married and may have children in your school who don't need to hear what you have to say. Some of you may not have children at home. We may have wives at home who get tired of you dragging your school problems home. And sometimes they just wish you to leave school and just come home and be their husband or be their wife. So this debriefing helps us process, helps clear the air, and helps leave work at work. Work-life balance is a big subject. It's part of the whole burnout thing, that if we cannot somehow balance and our work and our life, if your teaching takes over your life, you will burn out. You'll get tired, you'll get frustrated, you'll burn out. And it's way more here than I have time for at the moment. Number three, growth. How can I grow as a teacher? Well, that's one way you can look at these after-school chats, is growth together as a staff. Because I've learned a lot from other teachers. The third and fourth grade teacher had been in the classroom 19 years. There's a wealth of experience to draw on. There's somebody who's probably been there before. She's been around the block once or twice. Learn from those people. They may be teaching younger grades than you. They may not be the principal. I don't care titles. When you have somebody in your school who's taught for 10 and 15 and 20 years, they've probably had this question before. Learn from them. Help yourself grow as a teacher by watching them. See this as time for growth. How am I going to change tomorrow? Because we say practice is the best teacher, right? Anybody want to correct that statement? Evaluated practice is the best teacher. Practice makes perfect. No, it doesn't. Because I can sit here and shoot arrows at that back wall all day long. And if this room was totally dark, and I couldn't see where they were going, whether or not I was hitting the target, I could shoot arrows all day long, 100 a day, 1,000 a day, never become a proficient archer. I have to evaluate those arrows. So what do I want to change tomorrow? How do I want tomorrow to be different than today? If I want to be better archer tomorrow than today, I'm going to have to change something. So what is my goal for tomorrow? What's my goal for this quarter? Where is it? Maybe it's academically. You know, this year I need to work on algebra because I'm a high school teacher, and next year I've got three students that want to take Algebra 1, and I managed to survive Algebra 1 in school, but I'm not ready to teach it. Maybe that's my goal this year, is to kind of put myself through Algebra 1. Or at least, you know, hey, I've got some time here. I have the time. Let's practice. Let's work on this some. What's my vision for next year? How do I want this school to look different next year than this year? Okay, we got a whole boatload of this yesterday from Jeff, right? Any of you guys have any ideas how you'd like your school to look different after watching his picture? Wow. Wow. Inspiring. How do I want my school to be different next year? Did you notice that from Gerald this morning? He said, what are you going to implement in September? When I was here as a teacher many years ago during Teacher's Week, Melvin Lehman said, how many of you have a planner, a calendar on you right now? Okay, great. Write this down for the rest of you. Put it in your notes. On October 10th, you're going to write, be consistent. Because you're going to have long forgotten Melvin Lehman and Teacher's Week in the second week of October. And so I dutifully wrote down, be consistent. Melvin Lehman, FBTI. Come October 10th, do you think I had remembered that? No. But reading that in my, that's right. And I actually went and grabbed out my notes. I said, this is what Melvin said, you know, we're going to need this consistency in October. Set specific goals for yourself. See this as growth. And maybe you want to work together as a staff. How do we want to grow in the next year? What do we want to change about this school? What part of our school culture, as you walk into this building, what strikes you? Man, I wish that was different. Wow. I wish that wasn't that way. Okay, staff, let's work together on this. Now, the whole point of this topic was informal staff meetings. Jonas and I were talking about this. He said, okay, let's focus on these informal staff meetings. And some of this might sound like a formal staff meeting. In my experience, informal staff meetings and formal staff meetings are kind of a continuum. And the line between is kind of blurred. And it's mostly dependent on what time of day and what day of the week it happens. The formal staff meetings were Tuesday afternoon at 3:15 and Friday morning at 7. But we had them multiple times in between. Learn from your peers. Tap into those wisdom of years. I have a father-in-law who's taught many years. You have guys here like Howard and Gerald and Jonas, some of these guys that have taught years and years. Tap into those wisdom. Maybe you have them in your community. Maybe you're teaching with them. Tap into that wisdom in growth. So, you know, as you look at our school, what can we be doing differently? Give me a piece of low-hanging fruit or maybe high-hanging fruit that we could work on. Use this time to kind of strategize growth. How have we done it before? Did that work? Did it not? We have a saying in medicine, we've always done it this way, is the most dangerous thing you'll hear today. Because we've always done it that way is a hideous reason to do something. Why have we done it that way? Why do we do this? Because this and this, and we've tried it that way and it didn't work. Oh, okay, that's good to know. It's where we need those people around us that have a broader perspective than I do. Because, I mean, I have a good perspective. I mean, if I had a faulty perspective, I would change it. If my opinions weren't right, I would change them, obviously. So, of course, my opinions are right. I need the opinions of those around me. To recap briefly, you need relationships, your support team, that tightrope net, safety net. You need brothers that understand you. You need sisters that get you. We need humility. We use these times to debrief, to analyze what went wrong and celebrate what went right. We use these times to grow. In the last 10 minutes here, I'd like to share a few tips. Again, as Jeff said yesterday, I'm a professional thief. The first one I have came straight from this institute some years ago. Serve coffee. All of us eat and drink. And somehow around food, we tend to lower our guard. We tend to relax a little. Have you ever noticed at state dinners, they relax and are cordial and treat each other politely, even though politically we might have some problems with that nation? Come a state dinner at the White House, they're all dressed up, and they treat each other with respect. Serve coffee. Coffee makers are pretty cheap. Coffee's cheap. Have coffee at your staff meetings. And if you just sort of have this habit of getting together at your desk, well, anticipate it and make a pot of coffee. Make it a warm, inviting atmosphere for these to take place. See, hospitality is far bigger than lodging Aunt Florence when she comes to visit. Can you practice hospitality to your teachers? Can you serve your staff through hospitality and a cup of coffee? And food is even better. Popcorn's pretty cheap. Now, when I was teaching, we had a parent call one time and say, I'd like to volunteer to bring snack to your Tuesday afternoon staff meeting every other week. Sweet. We won't turn that down. But she got confused about which week it was and just brought food every week. And furthermore, when I started teaching there, the tradition had kind of developed of serving breakfast to the staff. Like the staff would take turns bringing breakfast every other Friday to their Friday morning meeting on payday. I said, that's fabulous. What's wrong with the other Friday? It's not payday. It needs food too. So we looked around each other. I said, there's six of us on staff, 36 weeks. That's six times a year. Are you willing to bring breakfast six times this year? And we made this plain. Breakfast is a broad term. There were days where breakfast was a box of donuts and a jug of orange juice purchased at Speedway. And that's just fine. There were days we had breakfast on china with silver and crystal goblets and candlelight. What did that say? What was the message that that teacher sent when we walked into my classroom? We always ate at the big table in my classroom. What was the message, loud and clear, when we walked into that spread? I mean, this is tablecloths, decorations. This is nothing less than your mother would serve to her parents for Easter dinner. And this is 7 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. What's the message?
I care about you.
I care about you. You are worth my best. How many of you like to teach on staff with people like that? Look around you. Every hand is up. Your co-teachers would like to teach with somebody on staff like that. Invest yourselves in your teachers. Coffee is good and food is even better. Self-care is important. This is, again, I'm pulling out of medicine. I cannot possibly care for my patients if I'm unable to care for them, okay? This seems a little redundant. But if I'm sick, I can't help you. If I get injured, I'm no longer able to help you. If I tear out my back trying to lift you, I'm no longer a nurse, I'm now a patient. So it sounds a little selfish and a little counter to our Mennonite culture to say, my safety comes first. Okay? But the lesson is still here. If you're a blubbering blobbo of tears and can't hold it together, you're not going to be much of a teacher. You've got to take care of yourself. Self-care is important. Someone hung up on our nurse's area, where, of course, patients cannot see. The primary mission of Mayo Clinic is simple. The needs of the patient come first. And if you come to Mayo Clinic, I promise you, you will hear this. Doctors say it, nurses say it, Hucks say it. Everyone says it. I mean, we hear this 100 times a day. The needs of the patient come first. And in any argument, if you think your side more applies to this than does theirs, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, patient needs come first. And it truly is, that is the way we operate at Mayo Clinic. Someone hung up a sign behind the nurse's station. It says, the needs of the patient come first, but the caffeine of the nurse comes firster. You can't help others if you yourself aren't up to speed. Take care of yourself. You're not going to be an effective teacher if the lights at your office are on till 2 and 3 in the morning. That's when the sheriff starts showing up wondering why lights are on. Yes, I've been there. Keep things positive. In these staff meetings, if this turns into a gripe session, shut it down. And there was one day in particular, I remember I did that. We were all frustrated, and we'd had it, and this was going rough, and it just turned into a gripe session. And it suddenly hit me, this is not being productive. This is just feeding off each other's gripes. I said, guys, gals, I don't think we're getting anything done here. We all have things we need to do, and I think this is being unhealthy. Go home. This was Thursday. I said, go home, get a good night of sleep. Let's come back tomorrow morning fresh and ready to hit this. Because things needed talked about. You know, there's nothing so terrible, but that a night of sleep and a cup of coffee doesn't make it look a little less terrible. I'm a disaster responder for Red Cross as well, and people's houses normally burn down in the evening and at night. That's when house fires happen, for whatever reason. You firemen can talk to us about that. But when you're standing with a client and their family on the street, and the water is running down the gutter of the street, and inevitably it's raining or snowing or something, and you have your arm around them, and they're looking at the charred remains of their house, and they're absolutely silent. Their mind is completely overwhelmed. On Red Cross, we have the line, it never looks quite so bad in the daylight. It never looks quite so bad in daylight. Okay, go get a night of sleep. Come back tomorrow morning at 7 and we'll retackle this thing. At what point you decide, it dawns on you that this after-school chat is turning negative, it's just turning into a gripe fest, call it a day. Go home. And lastly, relax, be comfortable. Now, I realize this is cultural, okay? And I'm a strong proponent of good dress in teaching. Now, yesterday you saw me out of appropriate dress for teaching in the devotions workshop. This is exactly how I dressed every single day for school. Students thought I was a tad boring. I said if I wear black pants and a blue shirt every day, it's easy. I made my own uniform. I've got a whole closet full of blue shirts and black pants, and it's just done. It's easy. And you can pick me out of a crowd. It's okay. I'm okay with boring and a little bit traditional, a little bit conservative in dress. You're allowed to relax. These staff meetings, like I said, we sat on the floor. We sat in students' desks. We sat on teachers' desks. We got pretty comfortable. Okay, you're allowed to relax. You're allowed to roll up your sleeves. You're allowed to relax at these things. And again, be sensitive to your culture. But formal staff meetings, you know, maybe you keep formal minutes at your staff meetings. And maybe you think it'd be beneficial to do so here. But you can relax, too. This is an informal staff meeting. It's called an after-school chat, not an after-school convocation or something. And I discussed Friday breakfast. I just come back to Friday morning breakfast a little bit. That seemed to do something for our staff, where if for whatever reason it didn't happen, we really seemed to miss it. Oh, and by the way, the Dairy Queen there closes in like October or something. And the last day Dairy Queen's open, they have half price day. Every year, I said, let's grab a vehicle and go to Dairy Queen. And the principal even bought. And come February 14th, they open up again, and we go back to Dairy Queen. And you're still talking shop in the van on the way to Dairy Queen, and you're still talking shop and debriefing, even eating your dilly bars and ice cream cones and blizzards. These after-school chats don't have to be sitting around the desk. They could be on the way to Dairy Queen. They could be sitting in at Tim Hortons enjoying a good Canadian maple. And a double-double, of course. Look for opportunities to have these after-school chats that might not necessarily be exactly circled around your desk.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.